Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of March, recording at 5:15 p.m. British Standard Time. Considerably earlier than I often record, but I'm off to a concert this evening. So, what do we got here? Let's first run through a quick review of what seem to be some of the highlights here of the day. First, among stock markets, I usually start there. Asia, mostly steady. The big exception to that was the Taiwan market. Now, they've got a presidential election on the 20th of March. You can read all about that in Christopher Wood's very, very good Greed and Fear report. He's devoted the whole issue to Taiwan, having just returned from Taipei. And you might recall I mentioned yesterday in the audio that it was leading the run on the upside recently, but had become overextended. And we had a downside key day reversal, and I'd be awfully surprised if we didn't see some additional reaction and consolidation. But there's quite a bit of support underneath on that chart, as you can see overall. Now, but there's a politically delicate situation with some of the parties that are more militant regarding Taiwan's independence. Okay, Japan is still benefiting very much from that softer yen in here, up another 135 points, and I'm feeling a little bit rueful here, not having a futures market position on there, but I'm not going to pay up for this. If it pulls back and consolidates, either because the dollar rallies a bit against the yen or whatever, then I may well consider picking up Japan. But I'm very, very cautious here regarding most trades at this time. I mean, we had an awfully good run in equities, starting really from last April and May. Had a terrific run in some of the metals recently, got stopped out of the last positions there. I'm talking about my own portfolio, of course, but I know a lot of people will take some similar positions to mine. And I found in the past I've had to fight a tendency to do extremely well. I would never fight a tendency to do extremely well, but I find that I've had a patch. I'm going to have a patch where I've done extremely well, and then a little bit of hubris and creeps in, or I get overexcited, a combination of both, and wind up firing shots off in all sorts of different directions. And the prophetic quote from Bloomberg in here today by Aesop of the Fables fame. So this is quite an old quote, but it is, "Better be wise the misfortunes of others than by your own." And as I'm well aware that a significant portion of my subscribers, English will not be their first language, and sometimes not even their second language, so I'll just rephrase that. Better if you can learn from other people's mistakes than make the mistakes yourself. And that's always been a tough one for me. I've been a bit obstinate for most of my life and tend to have to make too many of my own mistakes, and to my chagrin sometimes too many of those mistakes over again. So all my self-protection antennae now are twitching here a little bit after the very good runs in the equities and in the metals. I want to be cautious in here, so I'll let far more opportunities go by than I will jump aboard for a while, at any rate until these markets settle down and some of these choppy trends that we've seen recently sort themselves out. That applies to currencies. It also applies to equities, where I'm being less aggressive in this environment, feeling that we've seen the best part of the gains overall. And since Friday, I usually do an overall sort of global wrap here very, very quickly, taking a somewhat of a medium to longer term view on these markets. I do maintain that Wall Street is in a very good technical bull move within a secular bear market. And since this rally is now a year old, or nearly a year old, And since talking about the rally, of course, it started last March. And we've had very good gains, gone past the 50% level for the Standard and Poor's Index, pushed valuations up considerably. And now we're in an environment where people are starting to talk about signs of possible overheating. The Goldman Sachs piece, while quite bullish, that I posted on the website, their economic report is also talking about rising inflation in the Asian region. We know from Greenspan, and well, we would know this without Greenspan saying it, that U.S. interest rates are certainly going to go up at some point, although the rather weak employment figures that the U.S. released today have certainly not hastened or brought forward expectations regarding that first interest rate increase, either for Greenspan or anyone actively investing in these markets. But this is the time, as you know, where I'm treading more cautiously here, and I have removed money from the equity table and will continue to do so overall. Although I've been hoping to switch one of my small positions, I switched out of Croda, which was very firm, that was the UK share, and I'd been bidding on that Aberdeen New Tyne that has moved up a little bit, and I haven't been able to get back on board there just yet, being a little bit too conservative. Okay, as far as bonds are concerned, government. Well, let me run through the rest of the equities here first. That general comment applies to all the stock markets. I think it's late in the cycle. I'm still running with it with my remaining positions, but I'm not putting any actual new money into stock markets at this stage. Now, European markets are all down a little bit, well, mostly down a little bit on the day. Milan and Spain are show small gains, but we have small losses across the other European exchanges. Wall Street came in a little bit softer because of that weak employment figure. It's a bit mixed right now as I speak. Dow's down 3.5, S&P's up a couple, Nasdaq's down 5 points. I'm here right now. Now, in terms of drama on the day, this has been really in two areas. The first is we've had quite a sharp jump in those U.S. Treasury bonds. They're up but 2.12 on the futures. That's a very big gain. So extending that and that rally, I regard Treasury bonds, as you probably recall, and JGBs, so on, as being very much in a top extension phase overall. It's a top extension phase that I have said could last many, many months, as sometimes the case with these patterns. But my basic feeling is that the next big move in US Treasuries and certainly the JGBs will be on the downside. In other words, higher yields. As economic growth continues and as deflation fears are gradually replaced by evidence of a slow build-up, very slow build-up of inflationary pressures. Now, I've got a small short position in those US Treasuries, which I've been riding for a while. I have been losing money on that, and that's still the case. I've also got a very small short position in the JGBs. Where I'm showing a small profit currently, but very minimal. But these are just initial stakes. I wanted to have a small presence there. In terms of timing, are these markets screaming, short me, short me, short me right now? Technically, no. They're not. But I do suspect that we will see a long-term secular bear market in government bonds at this current time. All I can say is that it looks to me like the peak in the government bond bull market occurred in June, and we had a sharp shakeout, and then we've had this retracement, much slower retracement rally, which I've described as the right-hand extension phase of these spike tops. Okay, Moving on to another asset class in terms of currencies, big story on the day. As you know, the dollar has rallied quite sharply on a bear squeeze recently, and it's quite interesting because some of the people who were saying it was only momentary, it would only be a very brief period, in other words, before we saw euro-yen, dollar-yen, let me rephrase that, only be a very short period of time before we saw euro-dollar up in the 135-140 region. And of course we had all that jawboning near 129 for euro-dollar, and that jawboning succeeded in producing those two key day reversals that I commented on in these audios and illustrated on the charts. And the rest, you know, we had the bear squeeze, and the euro fell down within half a cent of the upper region of that lateral support on the charts, which you've probably seen previously on some of those charts near the 120 level. So it got down to 120 and a half earlier this week. I think it was on Wednesday, and then a bit of a bounce when the employment figures came out today. The euro had been soft. The low today, for instance, was 121.76, but it then bounced very, very sharply and is currently 123.94, and it has been as high as 124.34. Now, right around the 124 area is the underside of the small overhead trading range, so that's a potential resistance area, and it's too soon to say that this is definitely the bottom of the euro's downward reaction or the top of the dollar's rally, especially as the dollar is actually quite firm in here still against Japanese yen today, 111.62. I think that's a new recovery high for this move. So this is choppy in here right now. My overall view as far as the euro-dollar is concerned is that this is a contra-trend move that we've seen. In other words, the dollar's rally was a contra-trend, counter-trend move, and therefore it's unlikely to last. And we will see the euro probably push back up and a little bit beyond that high up in the 129-130 region. I don't expect that quickly, but I think that is likely to happen. And as I've said on many occasions, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't ultimately have multilateral intervention to support the dollar. Right now, I don't think anyone at the Fed wants a stronger dollar, and certainly nobody in the Bush administration wants a stronger dollar, not least after those employment figures that came out today. So my overall view on the dollar's bear run, I think we've seen most of it in terms of price action, and the topping process can drag out for a long time, and I do suspect that we'll see some additional weakness by the dollar, but not a great deal, because you've seen the extent to which a number of central banks have become involved in their efforts to check the strength or the appreciation of their currencies against the US dollar. Now, the other asset class to comment on are the commodity markets. And first, the metals in here. And you know, you've seen it repeatedly in here, that every time the US dollar weakens, you get a good strong rebound in the metals. And today's been no exception. We've currently got gold at $399.25, and that's up over $6. Has been as high as 401. I maintain that gold is in an accumulation zone down here at these levels. It's in the early stages of a secular bull market. The comparison that I have used is to say that gold today is where the S&P was, in my view, back in the mid-1980s. In other words, it's boring more often than not, but is in a gradual recovery phase that will be punctuated by long periods of ranging, such as we're seeing at present, but it's in an accumulation zone after the periodic reactions. And I don't think there's much downside risk in gold, down near the 390 level, which we reached earlier in this week, a little bit below that, as a matter of fact. Now, silver has benefited from this back up to 691.5. Every time silver comes off a bit, I'm fighting the temptation to get back in. As you know, I had some of a number of bids well underneath the market. They got close in one of those shakeouts that we saw late last month, but didn't quite reach those levels. And if they had, I would have traded them out on the subsequent rally. But I'm very bullish of silver for the longer term, but just a little bit wary of paying too high a price in here. In the short term, after that recent good run that I had in silver. Palladium, continuing with the precious metals, has been as high as 256 today, and you'll see a chart of that, a weekly chart. It's one of the mystery charts that I put up in the public area, but it's identified in the subscribers area. It's backed off a little bit, but it's still at 575 today at 252 right now. This pattern, which I've been describing all along as the first step above the base formation, really looks to be in its latter stages of completion, although guessing or predicting when a congestion area trading range is going to be completed by a breakout is one of the most difficult aspects of technical analysis. But the dynamics and the overall shape of the pattern suggest to me that it's probably in the latter stages, but I'm long. This is my big core position that I'm still holding here in metals right now. And I offered the hypothesis yesterday that since a number of hedge funds and other speculators such as myself have been shaken out of some of their LME positions, London Metal Exchange positions, that in terms of looking around, they may well express an increased interest in palladium, because that has been very much a laggard and is not overextended to the extent that so many other metals have been recently. Now, for palladium to break out on the upside, we'd probably need a bit steadier performance than we've got from platinum at the moment. It's firm overall, still very much within the uptrend, up $4.50 here as I speak. Now, we don't have the actual ring closes on the London Metal Exchange here today, but it's been a mixed bag. Copper's up a little bit in here, $39 on the LME, $165 on the US contract, taking May up to $133.90. Tin's down a little bit, down $35, got down to $6,800. I'm currently $6,875. I was stopped out at $6,840, as you may recall, with that tight stop that I was running. Zinc a bit steadier, up 20 in here today. Nickel a little bit firmer. Lead down slightly on the latest prices. So still, again, the way I would categorize these, I think that the outlook for the industrial metals, not that dissimilar from the precious metals, is really very bullish, perhaps probably even more bullish due to the strong industrial demand coming from China and increasingly coming from India. But they had run ahead of themselves, and we've seen some profit taking recently. That's checked the momentum, and there is a risk that we'll see some additional reaction and consolidation in these over the short to possibly medium term. Oil overall very, very firm here right now, and 37 has been as high as 37.45. Oil has lagged behind most other industrial commodities, but more importantly, it doesn't look like it's going down. What about some of those softs where I still have positions? The soybeans have been winging around a bit, but currently soft at the moment, down 9 ticks at 127.5. That's the low of the day so far. That's getting a little bit close to my stop here. I've got a stop at 9:20 on my soybean long. That's an in the money stop, and this is very much affected by forecasts of whether it's going to rain in Brazil and the growing regions or not. Now, among the three charts that I'd put up, mystery charts in the public area, and that you have also seen described in the subscribers area, that Aberdeen new tie, as you know, I reduced my position very substantially when it pushed up over 125, and I still have a bit, though, that I wrote out the reaction on a remaining position. And looking at this right now, well, I've been bidding in the last few days, but was holding out for a slightly lower price. And yesterday we had a strong day, and today it's gapped up a bit in here. I may just have to come in and pay for it, but I haven't done so far. I'm not terribly worried if I don't increase my exposure there overall, because I do think I'm really trying to squeeze out a little bit of an additional profit in so doing, and taking and risking obviously some booked profits in the process. And I think I'd said earlier on that if I hadn't been in this all along, or at least since the big equity rally began, that I probably wouldn't be tempted to enter that market at this time. Now, the other one is the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust, and that's the code JII that you can see on the screen. It's another investment trust that I hold, and I know a number of subscribers do hold this or similar instruments in India. You can see that key day reversal that I had commented on back in early January, that downside key day reversal that checked the nice steady orderly advance on the upside, produced two downward dynamics, and the correction. But this has been moving backward, back up towards that high, and the dynamics have been very good over the last week and a bit. So I'm really quite happy to hold on to that. It's a bit steadier actually than the Sensex, Indian Sensex index. That pattern looks reasonably steady as well. And palladium, that third chart, I've already discussed with you. So I think I've run on enough here, and I'll just say have an excellent weekend.